This teaching is brought to you by Christian Family Church International.
Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord one more big hand of praise and a shout. Father, we just thank you tonight for your goodness and for your mercy. And we thank you, Lord, that you are the God of the breakthrough. And I thank you, Father, that you are bringing breakthroughs in this house. I thank you, Lord, for the supernatural things that are taking place. We give you all the glory in Jesus' name. God's people said, amen. Amen. Turn to your neighbor, tell them the God of the breakthrough wants to visit your house. It's wonderful to be back with you tonight here at Christian Family Church, Johannesburg. How many folks were here this morning? Just wave your hand if you were here this morning. Well, thank you for coming back tonight. How many of you couldn't make it this morning, but you're here tonight? Wave at me. So glad that we had an evening service. I'll get to see you. This morning we spoke about the God of the breakthrough wants to visit your house. And I'm going to continue with part number two tonight. Our text scripture is in Psalm 79, verse 9. And it says, our hero, only have one hero. His name is Jesus. Spider-Man, Batman, Superman, those are all fantasies. But Jesus is a real hero who will rescue you every time. It says, come and rescue us, O God of the breakthrough. For the glory of your name, come and help us. I said to you this morning that breakthrough, if you look it up in the dictionary, the word breakthrough, it means to make a sudden advance through an obstacle. And I believe God is about to bring some sudden advances and break through some things that have been holding you back. Tonight we're going to talk particularly about financial breakthrough. The Lord spoke to me about 2 months ago. I was praying, wasn't thinking at all about this, just totally out of the blue. And the Lord said to me, I want to bring breakthroughs to my people. He is the God of the breakthrough. Many of God's people are struggling financially, and God wants to bring them out of it. I want to share with you three keys tonight to come out of a financial famine, a financial struggle. And we find these keys in 1 Kings chapter 17. There was a famine in the land in this time because of King Ahab's wickedness. God sent the prophet Elijah to tell him that there would be no rain for 3.5 years. And when you have no rain, that results in famine. No food, no crops. And so God told Elijah to go to the brook Cherith because he had commanded the ravens there to feed him. And they would bring him meat and bread in the morning, meat and bread in the evening, hamburger. Hamburger for breakfast, hamburger for lunch, for dinner. And you know, it's amazing that no matter what's going on, even in a financial famine, the Lord can provide for you. God provided for Elijah. But one day the brook dried up. And so God tells Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 8, and the word of the Lord came to him saying, arise and go to Zarephath and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there gathering sticks. Also, what this tells me is that don't get locked in. God can provide for you various ways. First, he used the ravens. When that dried up, God had another plan of provision. And it says, so he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came there, there was a widow gathering sticks. He called to her. He said, please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink. And as she was going to go get it, he called to her and said, please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. So she said, as the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I'm gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself, for my son, that we may eat it and die. Now, obviously, how many would agree this lady needs a breakthrough? She needs a financial breakthrough. She's down to her last meal. And notice Elijah's response in verse 13. Elijah said to her, do not fear, Go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first, say first, and bring it to me, and afterward make some for yourself and your son. Now, was Elijah not listening to what the widow said? She just told him that she only had a little bit of flour, a little bit of oil, and she was going to make a small cake for herself and her son, and then they were going to eat it and die. And Elijah says, make me a small cake first. Can you imagine if the news media had been there today? CNN News, the headline, breaking news, preacher cons widow out of her last meal. Because you see, the news media do not understand spiritual things. Thank God they weren't there. But God sent him to her. He told him he had commanded her to provide for him. In fact, Jesus spoke about this, which is pretty amazing. In Luke chapter 4, Jesus, in verse 25, Jesus says, certainly there were many needy widows in Israel in Elijah's time, when the heavens were closed for 3.5 years and a severe famine devastated the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them. He was sent instead to a foreigner, a widow in Zarephath in the land of Sidon. You see, God could have sent Elijah to a wealthy person. Why didn't God send Elijah to a multimillionaire? Because not only did God want to provide for Elijah, he wanted to provide for the widow. He wanted to give her financial, supernatural breakthrough. Amen? In verse 14, Elijah carries on. He says, for thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth, which would be 3.5 years. So she went away and did. Says she went away and did. She went away and did according to the word of Elijah, and she and he and her household ate for many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah. Now, the reason the flour and the oil didn't run dry is because it kept being supernaturally replenished every day. Now, there's three keys in this story that I want to share that will bring you out of a financial famine if you apply them in your life. Number one, there must be a prophetic word from God. If you need a breakthrough in your life, if you need deliverance from financial famine, then you need a prophetic word from God. It's called a rhema word from God. In Romans 10, verse 17, a scripture I know you know well, it says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now that term, the word of God, in Romans 10, 17, in the Greek is the word rhema, and it means a spoken word from God. It's when God speaks a word to you. You might be reading your Bible, and suddenly the scripture jumps out of the page, and you have a revelation. That's a rhema. The word of God becomes alive to you. That's what brings faith to you. Or you may be sitting in church and hear someone preaching, and suddenly you have a rhema. It's a special word from God to you that brings faith to you, that will change your circumstances. And that's why when you're in an impossible looking situation, you need to spend quality time with God. You need to get the word of the Lord. That's what I've learned to do. I've been in ministry for 40 years. I started at 20 years of age here at Christian Family Church. I was employed as a pastor in 1984. And I've learned in 40 years that when I'm facing something impossible, and I have faced many impossible situations, when it looks like there's no way out, that's my cue to go and spend time with God and wait to receive the word of the Lord. And once I receive the word of the Lord, I make that my priority. That then is my final authority. This widow had a prophetic word from God given to her by Elijah. He told her to make him a cake first, for thus says the Lord, the bin of flour shall not be used up, and the jar of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth. And she went and did according to the word of Elijah, and she had a major breakthrough. God delivered her from financial famine, even though that famine lasted for 3.5 years. And let me tell you, God is not a respecter of persons. What he will do for Elijah, what he will do for the widow, God will do for you. God shows no favorites. God is looking for faith and obedience. Can you say amen? There must be a prophetic word from the Lord, and I am giving you that prophetic word tonight. I am telling you, the Lord told me the God of the breakthrough wants to visit your house, and if you are willing to receive that and follow these three keys, you will experience breakthrough in your life. I am expecting to hear amazing testimonies from this day. I'm expecting to hear testimonies of breakthroughs at Christian Family Church Johannesburg, because God confirms his word with signs following. Say amen, somebody. Now, my son, Luke, who just turned 36 a few days ago, he and his wife, Francesca, they live in Miami. And they have been trusting the Lord to buy their own home. And property in Miami is just crazy expensive. They've been renting a home. Their home that they rent right now is 150 square meters. It's not a big home. It's two bedrooms and two bathrooms on a small property. They've been renting it. And they've been trusting God. And they've been looking at homes. And they told me they went to one show house. This house was for sale. They went to look at it. And there were 19 cash offers above the asking price. So in January, I think it was, late January, the owner of the home where they're renting told them that they needed to move because they wanted the house back. They wanted to use it for something else. And they had 3 months to move. And so they've been trusting the Lord. They've been fasting. They've been praying. And my daughter-in-law, Francesca, is a realtor. She's been watching the houses. And suddenly, a house came on the market. Just exactly what they needed. 4 bedrooms, bigger than what they have now. I think it's about 200 square meters. And it was just perfect. And they quickly went to look at the house. It was scheduled to go on show that weekend. It was going to be on show. And they went before. And they loved the home. So they put in a full price offer. It was $850,000. Now, they also, when they went to the home, they noticed there were a lot of Christian things, scriptures and things around the home. So they could tell these were Christians. So they attached a letter with the offer to explaining that they were pastors and that their children attended the Christian school just 4 minutes from the house, and they were just trusting God for favor. Well, the owner of the home is a lady in her 60s. She's lived there for over 40 years, and she accepted their offer, and then she wrote a letter in reply. I want to read the letter she wrote to them. The letter that she wrote is, this is what I'll quote it. Thank you for your kind letter. I wanted to take a minute to write back because I wanted to share something with you. I've been praying for a long time for guidance with this house. It was not my intention to even list it because I wasn't sure of where God was leading me. I'm a full-time caregiver for my elderly mother, and I didn't have peace with moving her out of the only home she's known in the U.S. at this fragile age. I prayed for months for guidance. I prayed that this home would be a blessing and a testimony. And when I listed the home, my prayer was very specific, that this house would continue to serve the Lord. I want you to know that your family is an answered prayer to me, and I will continue to keep you and your family in our prayer and pray for a smooth transition for all of us. That's what you call a breakthrough. Now, what happened is you have a week to do inspections on the home to find out if there's any repairs needed. So they had the inspections, and they discovered that the house needed a new roof. and it needed a new AC, and it needed a new septic tank, and it needed some new wiring, and it was going to cost $40,000. So they then asked for a $40,000 credit, not really thinking that the lady would agree, because she could have, when she accepted their offer, she canceled the show day. She could have had that show day and probably sold it for a lot more money. But they asked anyway. And the realtor was handling it. She recommended to the owner that she would only give them a $15,000 credit. So the owner, this lady, said, let me go and pray about it. And she went to pray, and she came back and she said, the Lord told me to give them the $40,000 credit. Not only did they get the $40,000 for all the repairs, then Francesca's father said, I want to pay for it. So they end up getting the repairs paid for, a $40,000 credit, the house of their dreams. They move in 2 weeks' time, they're moving in. That is a financial, supernatural breakthrough. And I'm expecting to hear some testimonies like that, where you say, man, I'm overwhelmed. Only the Lord could have, let me tell you, only God could have made this happen. Amen. And the God of the breakthrough wants to visit your house. This is a prophetic word to you. Shout it out. The God of the breakthrough wants to visit my house. Number two, the second key to see financial breakthrough, you must be willing to obey that prophetic word. The widow received the prophetic word and she went and did it. And because she was willing to obey, she had a breakthrough. She obeyed even though it seemed impossible to her. You see, obedience is a must if you want to see miraculous things happen in your life. Say, obedience is a must to see miracles. Even if your mind cannot grasp it, even if it's utterly impossible in your own thinking, you have to be willing to obey what the Lord is saying. Don't make excuses why you can't obey what God says. In Isaiah 1 verse 19, the Bible says, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the best of the land. The Living Bible says it like this: if only you will let me help you, if you will obey, then I will make you rich. Do you know that God wants every single one in this room to be rich? I'm not saying a multimillionaire. Rich means to have everything you need and more than enough. That's what it means. In Job 36, verse 11, if they listen and obey God, they will be blessed with prosperity throughout their lives. All their years will be pleasant. Psalm 128, verse 1, blessings on all who reverence and trust the Lord, on all who obey Him. Their reward shall be prosperity. There's a lot of teaching against prosperity today. Oh, you one of those prosperity believers. Well, the Bible says prosperity is a reward for obeying God. Deuteronomy 28, verse 1, it shall come to pass if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all His commandments which I command you today, that the Lord will set you high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Someone said, Pastor Steve, those are all Old Testament scriptures. Is there any new, does the New Testament talk about obedience? Jesus Himself said in John 14, verse 15, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. Jesus said in Luke 6, 46, why do you call me Lord when you won't obey me? In Hebrews 5, verse 9, it says, Jesus became the giver of eternal salvation to all those who obey Him. Jesus is the giver of salvation to those who obey Him. Now, I've heard people say, well, all you got to do is believe. Some people think they can be saved and go to heaven just because they believe in Jesus. Do you know the Bible doesn't teach that? Do you know that James chapter 2, verse 19 says, are there still some among you who hold that only believing is enough? Believing in one God, well, remember that the demons believe this too. So strongly they tremble in terror. Fool, when will you ever learn that believing is useless without doing what God wants you to do? Faith that does not result in good deeds is not real faith. Romans 10 verse 9, the scripture we know well. If you tell others with your own mouth that Jesus Christ is your Lord, believe God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Well, what does it mean to confess Jesus as Lord? The word Lord means one who has authority, control, or power over others, acting as a master or a ruler. I have to tell you tonight that just believing in Jesus does not get you to heaven. You must make him Lord of your life, which means that you must be willing to obey him. If you're not willing to obey Jesus as Lord, then you cannot be saved. And when Jesus is Lord, you are willing to obey whatever he says. If you want God to give you financial breakthrough, you must be willing to obey him and do whatever he tells you. You cannot disobey God and refuse to tithe and then be praying for financial breakthroughs. Say amen, somebody. Amen. Remember Jesus' very first miracle, he turned the water into wine. What preceded that miracle? His mother told them in John 2 verse 5, whatever he says to you to do, do it. Tell your neighbor, whatever he says to you to do, do it. That's the key to miracles. Whatever God tells you, do it quickly, do it without complaint, do it without hesitation, do it without argument. Just be willing to do whatever God says, because if you are willing to do whatever God says, you set yourself up to see major breakthroughs in your life. Number three, obedience will require sowing a significant seed. I have never seen a financial breakthrough without being willing to first sow a significant seed. Usually, a significant seed like that widow did. It was something that meant something to her. It was something of value to her. It literally was her last meal. David, who saw many breakthroughs, he said this in 2 Samuel 24, 24. The king said to Arunah, "No, but I will surely buy it from you for a price. Nor will I offer burnt offerings to the Lord my God with that which costs me nothing." So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. In other words, David said, when I offer to the Lord, it has to be significant. Because this widow was willing to give up that flour and give up that oil, because she was willing to sow that into the prophet's life, that became her significant seed. And as a result of her obedience to sow that significant seed, then the breakthrough came. Did she experience a financial breakthrough? Will you experience a financial breakthrough? Yes, you will. If you are willing to follow these three steps, be willing to sow a significant seed, because that proves that you believe that the God of the breakthrough will visit your house. Now, what I didn't tell you about my son's story is that just the previous year at their church, once a year they do a bricklayer offering. This is when people are encouraged to give something over and above their normal tithes. Now, I taught my son to tithe when he was a child. When he'd get his pocket money, we'd say, now here's 10 rand pocket money. 1 rand belongs to the Lord. When you go to children's church, you tithe that. We taught our kids from little. So as they grew up, it just became part of their life. And so they've always been tithers. But just last year when they did the bricklayers offering, I didn't know this. I found out that Luke and Francesca sowed a $25,000 seed. It was one of the top 10 seeds in their amounts in their church. And there's, you know, thousands of people in the church. And I've no doubt that that seed is connected to the breakthrough that they saw with buying their home. Can you say amen? Let me tell you what the scripture says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, reading from the Passion Bible. Actually, Paul said, there's no need to write to you about this contribution for the holy believers in Jerusalem. For I already know that you are on board and eager to help. I keep boasting to the churches of Macedonia about your passion to give. Do you have a passion to give? Telling them that the believers of Corinth have been preparing to give for a year. Your enthusiasm is contagious. It has stirred many of them to do likewise. Still, I thought it would be best to send these brothers to receive the offering that you've prepared so that our boasting about how you were ready to give would not be found hollow. For if after boasting of our confidence in you, some of you Macedonians were to come with me and find that you are not prepared, we would be embarrassed to say nothing of you. That's why I have requested that the brothers come before I do and make arrangements in advance for the substantial offering. Say substantial. The substantial offering that you pledge. Then it will be seen as a matter of generosity, not under pressure, as something you felt forced to do. Here's my point. A stingy sower will reap a meager harvest, but one who sows from a generous spirit will reap an abundant harvest. Let giving flow from your heart, not from a sense of religious duty. Let it spring up freely from the joy of giving, all because God loves hilarious generosity. See, I think that sometimes it can be easy to slip into giving as a duty instead of really giving from your heart what God is inspiring you, something significant. It says, God is more than ready to overwhelm you. Say overwhelm. God is more than ready to overwhelm you with every form of grace so that you will have more than enough. Say more than enough. Of everything, every moment, in every way, he will make you overflow with abundance. Say overflow with abundance in every good thing you do. I love that. God's ready to overwhelm you, give you more than enough, overflow you with abundance, just as the scriptures say about the one who trusts in him because he has sown extravagantly. Say extravagantly. The word extravagant means more than what makes sense, more than what is reasonable. Because he has sown extravagantly and given to the poor, his kindness and generous deeds will never be forgotten. This generous God who supplies abundant seed for the farmer, which becomes bread for our meals, is even more extravagant toward you. First, he supplies every need plus more. Then he multiplies the seed as you sow it so that the harvest of your generosity will grow. Now notice, God overwhelming you so that you always have more than enough. God overflowing you with abundance. God being extravagant toward you is connected to your extravagant giving. Sowing and reaping is a divine law. The scripture says in Genesis 6, 7, and Galatians 6, 7, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. And the Passion Bible says it like this, God will never be mocked, for what you plant will always be the very thing you harvest. The harvest you reap reveals the seed you planted. Don't allow yourselves to be weary in planting good seeds, for the season of reaping, the wonderful harvest you've planted, is coming. You see, we have to be seed-minded and not need-minded. Say, I need to be seed-minded and not need-minded. Most Christians are need-minded. Always talking about, well, I need this and I need that. But if you study the Bible, you see God is not need-minded. God is seed-minded. Every time you go to God about a need in your life, he will respond by talking to you about a seed. I remember Dr. Jerry Savelle, who I know has been at this church. He tells a story one time, his ministry, he really needed $30,000. He had a $30,000 need and he went to the Lord. He said, Lord, I need $30,000. And the Lord spoke to him and said, Jerry, next week you're going to be in this minister's conference. He said, there's going to be five men there that are very discouraged. They're about to quit the ministry. I want you to call them up, give them the word of the Lord, and then I want you to give each one of them one of your suits. He said, okay, Lord, I'll do it. Now, Lord, about that $30,000 need. And the Lord said, and also there's going to be a couple there. They have a ministry of feeding the poor. They need a new van. You just got a new van. I want you to give them your van. Okay, Lord, I'll do it. Now, Lord, about that $30,000 that I need. Also, there's going to be a minister there, and I want you to give him word of the Lord. I want you to take your attaché case. I want you to put $500 in cash, and I want you to give it to him. Jerry Savelle said, Lord, I'm not talking to you anymore. Because every time I talk to you about my need, you talk to me about a seed. The Lord said, Jerry, that's because you're need-minded instead of seed-minded. I'm seed-minded. 2 weeks later, Jerry Savelle's preached. He did everything the Lord told him. 2 weeks later, he's preaching in another meeting with Kenneth Copeland, and he gets into the elevator. And as he gets in the elevator, a hand comes through the door just before the door's about to close. Hand comes through the door. So he pushes the button to keep the door open. And a lady steps in. She's in a jogging suit. She's in her 30s. She doesn't look like she's been in the service. And she doesn't have a handbag or anything. And she says, thank you for holding the door. And then they get to her floor. And then just before she gets out, she says, Jerry, Brother Jerry, the Lord told me this was going to happen. She pulls out an envelope. She says, the Lord told me to give you this. Guess what was in the envelope? $30,000. Seed-minded, not need-minded. Some of you are questioning right now, what do I need to do, Pastor Steve, to have a breakthrough in my life? What do I need to do to see financial breakthrough? Here's your answer. Receive this prophetic word. Be willing to obey what the Lord tells you. Be willing to sow a significant seed. By significant, I mean something that costs you something, something that is valuable to you. And you have to pray and ask the Lord what that seed will be. And once you've applied these three keys, begin to shout and praise God. Begin to thank God every day because you just positioned yourself for a major breakthrough. Get ready for the God of the breakthrough to visit your house in the name of Jesus. Can you say amen? Now, I believe right now we are ready to receive breakthroughs. Jill and I, we want to sow a seed of 10,000 rand into this offering right now. And I want to encourage you to just do whatever the Lord tells you to do. This right now is a significant moment. This right now is setting yourself up to see a major financial breakthrough. You want to see God give you a house? Give to the house of God. When you take care of God's house, God will take care of your house. I've always seen that in my life. From the time I was a young man, 20 years old, we bought our first home. We put God first from the moment we got saved. I began tithing. My first job, I earned 450 rand a month. I started tithing 45 rand. Within 18 months, I was earning 2,000 rand a month, giving 200. I can't tell you what the Lord has done in my life. It's beyond what I could imagine, but it all is connected to be willing to obey and give and sow seed whenever God tells you to do it. Are you ready tonight? I said, are you ready tonight? Ask your neighbor, are you ready tonight? Tell them, are you ready to see breakthroughs in your life tonight? Are you ready for financial breakthrough to hit your house tonight? Well, I want you right now to just pray and just listen in your heart. Just, Lord, what would you have me do? What would you have me do? God knows what you have. God knows what you need. Just say, Lord, what would you have me to do? Anytime God speaks to me about giving, I know because it's a harvest he wants to get to me. I know it's a breakthrough he wants to get to me. Lord, what do you want me to do tonight? Do whatever the Lord tells you tonight. Amen. There's various ways that you can give. I believe you're all aware of this. Is that Zapper? Yeah. Zapper. And you can give. There's envelopes being handed out. You can give, I think, by bank credit card. I think you have to go into the lobby afterwards to do that, right? But do whatever the Lord tells you right now. I'm going to pray over this. I'm believing God for breakthroughs. I'm believing God to hear people getting houses miraculously. God making a way, open a door. He can do beyond what you can ever imagine. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you are the God of the breakthrough. Thank you, Father, for financial breakthroughs in this house. Thank you, Lord, for testimonies that will come forth of the amazing breakthroughs that have occurred. And Lord, we give you all the glory and all the honor, all the thanks and all the praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Are you ready? If you're ready, say, I'm ready. Father, I pray right now. I thank you that as each one obeys what you tell them, as each one sows extravagantly, that, Lord, you are even more extravagant toward them. I thank you, Father, right now for visiting your people with supernatural, financial breakthroughs in their life. New jobs, promotions, open doors, businesses, houses, lands, cars, breakthroughs. In the name of Jesus, I declare and decree it tonight. And I thank you for it. Say, Father, thank you for bringing breakthrough in my life, for visiting my house with breakthrough. Say, I am expecting, Lord, to see supernatural breakthroughs. And I thank you and praise you in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. We are going to have church news, right? We're going to watch church news right now. I'll be right back right after that.
My name is Elaine, and I serve in the events team right here at church. We're so grateful to have you with us in church today. Before we get into an awesome message by Dr. Steve Barry, let me keep you up to date with all that is going on this week in our church. We believe that God has put leadership potential inside of every person. And if you're in a place where you want to learn more about how you can grow and develop in your personal leadership, then come to step three of our monthly CFC Growth Track next week. The Growth Track takes place every month over four consecutive weeks. And next week at Step 3, we'll unpack some of the practical tools that will help you grow into the person that God created you to be. We'll be running Step 3 of the CFC Growth Track in person next week. And there is no need to register. Simply meet us after the first and second service at the Growth Track venue. Growth Track is completely free, and you can start at any of the four steps. If you're doing Growth Track next week, our amazing dream team will take care of your children at Children's Ministry until Growth Track is finished. We'll see you there. Hey, moms and dads, we would love to celebrate your little one and pray over them as they grow up and become all that God has called them to be. If you would like to dedicate your baby to the Lord, our next baby dedication is happening in the main auditorium on Sunday, the 21st of April, during our second service. To register your little one, you can either register via the Church Center app in the Events tab or just email babydedication@cfcsa.co.za. Registration's closed soon, and if you're a member of CFC, you can register to receive a special gift to your child at the dedication with love from all of us here at CFC. We can't wait to celebrate this special day with you and your family.
You know, some people won't budge when it comes to the checking in process. It's almost as if they're on a spiritual quest to avoid the process altogether. Awesome. Thank you very much. You see? They're like ninjas. Very sneaky, very elusive, trying to avoid the check-in station at all costs. Oh, and then we have the Eye of Check-In crew. You know who you are.
Good morning, sir. May I help you check in?
Check in? Oh, no, I've already checked.
Can you please show me?
On
your phone.
See what I mean? When it's time for them to present the proof that they have checked in, guess what? Look, they're gone. Oh, and then there's the classic, my spouse checked me in.
No, I asked you to check us in the car.
No, love, but you always check us in.
I know, but I asked you, please check us in.
But I gave you the phone to
guys,
check
family.
Us in.
Hi, hello.
Morning.
Hi. I can actually help you check in. Can I show you?
Please.
All right, if you go onto the Church Center app. Okay, church in person. Please select your name and your husband's name. Okay, just need to make sure that it's aligned to me. It's 8:30 and next. Perfect, you're okay.
Sweet, thank you so much.
That's how you do it.
Sir, please check in. I need you to check in for the service.
I'm not checking in.
So it will just take a minute of your time.
I will not be checking in.
Okay, now guys, on a serious note, checking in on the Church Center app or in person when you hear a church helps us pastor you better. So please, we can avoid any Sunday morning sitcoms. We are family.
Praise the Lord. Did they turn me off? Two, praise the Lord. One, two. Praise God. Thank you, thank you. There we go. Can we stand up together, please? Hallelujah. Let's bow his moment. Father, we just thank you tonight for your goodness, your mercy. We thank you most of all for Jesus. We thank you, Lord, you loved us so much that you sent your son Jesus to the earth. I want to pray tonight for anyone, if you are here and you are not sure where you stand with God tonight. You're not sure if all is well between you and the Lord. Let me ask you this question. If you were to die tonight, can you say that you know for sure that heaven is where you would spend all eternity? Or would you have to be honest and say, Pastor Steve, if I died tonight, I hope I'd go to heaven. I do believe in God. I'm a member of such and such a church, but I can't say that I know for sure that I would spend eternity in heaven. Let me tell you, the good news tonight is you can know that for sure. You're not here by accident tonight. You can walk out of here knowing that all is well between you and God, knowing that every sin, every mistake you ever made in your life is forgiven and washed away. And you can know for certain that when you die, heaven is where you're going to spend all eternity. Heaven is a real place. Hell is a real place. And I want to pray for you tonight. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to come forward. But right where you're standing, if you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me. I want to make sure when I die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. Pray for me. If that's you, would you just lift your hand up high? Raise your hand up high. I'm looking for hands. If your hand is raised, then you're included in this prayer. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Just slip it up right now. Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock. He's knocking on your heart right now. Your heart's beating in your chest. You know that your hand should be up. You know you're not where you should be with God. Just slip that hand up right now and let us pray. Maybe you're here tonight and you say, Pastor Steve, I used to know the Lord. I used to walk with him. I used to serve him, but I've drifted away. And tonight, I want to rededicate and recommit my life to the Lord tonight. If that's you, you want to rededicate your life, lift your hand up also as well with the others, and we're going to pray for you. Now, everybody who raised your hand, I want to ask you, please, to say this prayer with me. This is a prayer that I prayed 44 years ago at this church at 16 years of age. I was not raised in a religious home. We never went to church. And my mother dragged me here, and I'm so glad she did, because I received Jesus in my life and changed my life forever, changed my family forever. I want you to say that prayer. The scripture says in Romans 10:9, if you believe in your heart that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and if you confess with your mouth that he is Lord, you will be saved. So let's say that together. Everybody say this. Say, dear God, I thank you that you love me so much that you sent your son, the Lord Jesus, to come to this earth for me, to die on a cross for me, to shed his blood for me, to take my punishment. Lord, you said that if I will believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, and if I will confess that he is Lord of my life, that I will be saved. And I do this tonight. Jesus, I believe you are alive. I believe you've been raised from the dead. And I ask you to come into my heart. Save me, Lord. Forgive me of my sin. Change me. I confess Jesus, you are Lord of my life. From tonight, I'm going to live for you. I'm going to follow you. And I thank you because I have received you. I am now saved. I am born again. I'm a child of God. God, you are my very own Father. I am your very own child. Heaven is my home, and my name is written down in the book of life. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for joining us during this episode of Living Life with Dr. Theo and Bev Vollmerens. We hope that through this inspired teaching, you had an encounter with God. If you enjoy the teaching ministry of Apostle Theo and Dr. Bev Vollmerens and would like to enjoy more resources, we hope you will visit our website at www.christianfamilychurch.co.za or for our American listeners, www.christianfamilychurchsa.com.